Track 64. In the car, we talked a lot. "Tell me about your life," I pressed him. "I was born in Chicago in 1901. He paused and sighed. "Carlyle found me in a hospital in the summer of 1918. I was 17, and I was dying of the Spanish influenza. "Your parents?" "They died from the disease too. I was alone. That's why Carlyle chose me." "How did he save you?" "It was very difficult, but Carlyle was the most human and compassionate person. And for me, it was very, very painful. Soon after me, he found Esme. She had fallen from a cliff."
"And Rosalie and Emmett?"
"Rosalie was next, and she became a real sister to me. She found Emmett 2 years later in the Appalachia. A bear had killed him, and they've been together ever since, like a married couple."
"Alice and Jasper?"
"Jasper belonged to another family, but he became depressed, and Alice found him one day. She has certain gifts, like me. She can see things, things that are going to happen in the future."
"Are there a lot of your kind, vampires?" I asked.
"No, not many. Most are nomads, and we come across others sometimes. We all usually prefer the north, because of the lack of sun." To my great embarrassment, my stomach began to murmur. "You need to eat, I suppose," he smiled. We were in front of my house now, and the lights were off. Dad wasn't in. We got inside, and I warmed some lasagna in the microwave. After a few minutes, we both heard the sound of tires. "Dad is coming," I sighed. "Should he know that I'm here?" "Don't know." "Another time then," he whispered, and was off in a second.
"Hi, Bells. How are you doing?" Dad smiled.
"I'm tired, Dad. I'm going to bed early."
"Night, honey."
I walked up the stairs to my room. I shut the door and opened the window, leaning out to see if Edward was there.
"Edward?"
"Yes," he replied from behind me. He was on my bed, his hands behind his head. "It seems to be much easier for you to be close to me now. Why is that?" I asked.
"Mind over matter. I know that I am strong enough to control myself. And if it gets too hard, I'm sure that I'll be able to leave," he laughed.
"You seem more optimistic than usual," I observed. "The glory of first love. It's incredible, the difference between reading about love and experiencing it. And I am also jealous. I was so surprised by the fury I felt when Mike asked you to the dance ball. Jealousy is so powerful and irrational," he said gravely.
"Is it time to sleep now?" he smiled.
"Just one more question. You said that Rosalie and Emmett are going to marry soon. Is marriage the same as it is for humans?"
"Yes. If you mean that thing, I suppose it is much the same. We keep most human desires."
"Well, I did wonder about you and me. Someday, I don't think that such a thing would be possible for us." His words froze my blood.
"Is it because if I were too close to you, it would be too hard for you to resist from hunting?"
"That's certainly a problem, but there's more. You are so soft, so fragile. Bella, I could kill you simply by accident. If for only 1 second I didn't pay enough attention, I could crush your skull by mistake."
I kept silent and then said, "Your human instincts. Well, I mean, do you find me attractive in that way at all? I am not human, but I am a man."
"Actually, I'm crazy about you, Bella Swan," he assured me. Then I fell asleep in his cold arms.